Okay, gentlemen. So, last week we were in the middle of the 17th Cheshvan in the Chavis HaLavavis, 17th meditation, and the Chavis HaLavavis told us, Amud HaTovech SheTorah Alev Nishan Alav, the strong main pillar, the middle beam, that purity of the heart rests upon is Ahavas Abedidus Ubechiras Hayachidus. Love of solitude and the choice of spending time alone with oneself. Of course, one is alone but not lonely because we are closer to the Ribbono Shel. And he described in detail the loss and the damage that is caused when people sit around kibitzing with other people, spending too much time in the company of others. So we continue today, and I dedicate the Shir L'Nishma as my Baba Etel Basra of Yehuda Yakel, Aleh HaShalom, as Yard says today, Ches Nissen. And the Chavos HaLevavos concludes by telling us that there is only one way they can spend time with people and yet be alone with God, and that's by spending time with Talmidei Chachamim. So if you make Talmidei Chachamim your friends, that's like being with Hashem, because as it says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabo is Talmidei Chachamim. You should fear, you should be in awe of Hashem, and that includes being in awe of Talmidei Chachamim, because they have soaked up in themselves the entire spirit of Hashem. And not only that, it's even better. He says it's even better to be with a Talmud Chacham than to be alone. Be alone is an eighth of no other eighth. Like the Rambam says, that the Rambam says in the Hilchos Deis that it's so dangerous to be in bad company, that if you're in bad company, and the city you live in is bad people, you're a bad neighbor, made a big mistake, so you have to run away to the Midbar. Rambam says, go live in the desert someplace. So hop in the plane and go out someplace into the Kalahari Desert or the Navajo Desert or someplace in Baja, California. Go out to White Sands, nice desolate place, White Sands, New Mexico. We do all testing for the bombs. No one's living there. It's safe from people. Or you go out someplace in the Sahara. That's what Rambam says. And the Chazanish says that Bizman Hazeh, the only Midbarios where you're safe from bad influence, he says that you can go out to the Mojave Desert, you go out to the Death Valley, it's not going to help you. They'll catch up with you there. Somebody with a boombox will come by and play Trefa music. Some billboard will contaminate your eyes. Mojave Desert, Death Valley won't do it. Middle of Sahara, you'll have some kind of a mirage of something no good. The only midbar today is a yeshiva. You have to run away to yeshiva. The yeshiva is the present-day wilderness, which is mufka, which is devoid of all outside influences. So he says, spend time with the Talmidei Chachamim, like Shlomo says in Mishlei. Holech el chachamim yechkam. The only way to get smart is by going to the wise. And it says, Vayter Mishlei, hat oznecho shma divrei chachamim. Tilt your ear and pay close attention to the words of chachamim. People think that the purpose of the rabbi's drush is entertainment. Sure, it's an interlude. It's a nice interlude, or Shabbos afternoon, I'm too lazy to learn myself. I'll go to the rabbi's drush, I'll be entertained. They'll say a joke or two, something interesting, tell you something about chasing rabbits or something. That was the highlight of the Shabbos Agadol drusha, chasing the rabbits. So that, you always hear something cute from the Rav, so it's good entertainment. No. You have to pay close attention. This is not a passive event listening to Chachamim. It's active. You have to be proactive. You have to hear carefully. What is he saying? What's the real message? What's he trying to get across to me? Unless you really pay attention, you can miss the whole point. It's not going to remain with you in one ear, out the other. And maybe that's why he says it in the singular. This I'm just adding. Why he says, why does it say oznecha in the plural with the yud? It's oznecha, your ear. Because he's trying to tell you that it should go in one ear and stay there. If it had said your ears, you might think it should go in one ear and out the other ear. So he says, oh, so 1 ear, make sure it goes in this ear and no further. It shouldn't get to your other ear. Hat oznecha ushma divrei chachamim. But he says, those people who don't like to go listen to the tzaddikim and chachamim, on them Shlomo said also, lo yav letz ocheach lo. The letz, the sarcastic cynic, he doesn't like when people give him mussar. El chacham lo yelech. He doesn't want to change. He doesn't want to learn about himself. It's too painful. The truth hurts. So he won't go to the chachamim. So a person who despises chachamim or avoids them, you can be sure he goes into the category of a letz. A letz is a person who doesn't take serious things seriously. The only thing he takes seriously is himself. The letz takes only one thing seriously is me. So if I'm hungry, that's serious. If I'm thirsty, that's serious. My ego, my covet, that's serious. That's serious. What I need is very serious. What God needs, what the people around me need, what my neshama needs, that's not too serious. And I'm afraid that if I hear the truth of what my neshama needs, it'll detract from my physical needs, my own personal ego needs. So I don't want to listen to the chachamim. They're going to tell me like what God needs from me, what my wife needs from me, what my children needs from me, what my kehila needs from me. So lo yav let teichayachle. The let doesn't like to hear teichacha. Too serious. He might have to change his lifestyle. El chacham lo yelech. Don't go to chachamim. They might tell you to read television set out. You don't want to hear that. That's fanatic. I have an answer in my mind. I have a kick, a knee-jerk response. What the rabbi says to my television, so he's one of those Haredis. He's a Haredi. He's a black hatter. And Haredis are crazy. He's Neanderthal, primitive. He's not from this century. And I learned already when I was a kid already how to react to those kind of rabbis. Any rabbi, the chutzpah say, don't go to the movies. And don't have a television set. This rabbi tells me, don't go to Blockbuster. This rabbi is Neanderthal. He is from a different world. I don't even listen to him. I instant tune out because he's too much. He's going to cramp. How can I live without my television set? Think about that. How can I live without my television set? How can I live without going to the movies? How can I live without Lashon Hara? How can I live without wasting my life? How can I wait? The rabbi's trying to change me. I hate those kind of people. They're so manipulative, those rabbis. Those rabbis are control freaks. And they want to make everybody, they want to manipulate everybody to be in their mold. It makes them feel good about themselves. When they'll see everyone else wearing black yarmulkes and black hats and not going to the movies, the rabbis, they'll feel good that they really accomplished something. It's an ego trip. So I know, I like the rabbi. He's a nice man. And when the rabbi tells me sweet things like, you know, I'll give you a bracha, fine. Rabbis are also good for selling chametz. Very good. Rabbis are very good for chametz. I like rabbis for chametz. They're good entertainers when they give a nice speech, tell you a nice joke, a cute var too. Cute var is also good. But toichacha. Toichacha means to prove that I have been incorrect and I must change my ways. For that, the rabbi suddenly is in a different mode. I look at him with a different eye. He's a Neanderthal, primitive caveman from a different era, and I can't listen to him. So, yeah, let's say chayach loy. El chacham loy yele. The let's afraid of the company of chacham. The last place will be seen is yeshiva. People here, they've gone to yeshiva. Tar Vadas, Philadelphia, Lakewood. When was the last time you visited Tar Vadas? I haven't stepped in the place in 30 years. Did you ever go to the annual dinner? No. You ever go out to say hello to Rav Palm, get a bracha from your tzaddik hadar? Nah. But you say you learned Tar Vadas. What happened to you? You're afraid Rav Palm might make some demands of you. He may tell you something about yourself. I mean, you didn't go to Lakewood all these years, but you didn't ever learn Lakewood in the first place. If you learned Lakewood and you haven't visited since you left Kolel, I mean, you never learned to start with. You never learned anything, because the yeshiva of the yeshiva to teach you to come back, that you should have a shaykh who's a chacham your entire life. And if you're afraid of chachamim, and you don't really like the company, they make you feel uncomfortable, so you feel more comfortable. I like the shul's nice place. It's good, it's comfortable over here. No one bothers me too much over here. You know, don't cramp my style. It's okay. It's not so bad. You know, I can deal with the rabbi. You know, we know who he is already. We all have the rabbi's number. But for yeshivas, rabbis, forget about it. They're totally Flintstones. I wouldn't even never dream of going to a rabbi's tish. That's a different cult. That's culture shock. So guys learn in Philadelphia, learn in Tells, learn in the Israel, and they never visit the yeshiva in 25 years since they left. Never call the Rosh Yeshiva, not interested in going to the dinner. They feel uncomfortable. There's a reason why they're uncomfortable, because they realize deep in the heart that they're not living up to the standards that were preached in the yeshiva all those years ago. If they had learned properly, The most important thing to learn in yeshiva is to have a kesher with a chacham your entire life. And I always tell the yeshivas, I always tell the Baron Shechtan that, but I always make him feel bad. He goes, does a good job, Chaim Berlin. I say, you know, you better do a good job with your Talmidim, because I suffer from all your mistakes. Because all the mistakes you make in your Talmidim, all the failures, you don't make good, you make students out of them. I have to live with your mistakes, with your seconds, you know, slightly damaged, you know. I have to live with your slightly damaged the rest of my life. Shkoya, so please don't, please put out a good product, because you don't live with them, I live with them. They never come back to you, those products. I gotta deal with these damaged goods. So I encourage yeshivas to do a much better job in their talmidim, make it easier for the rabbanim. We have a hard job. We have the hard job. Seriously. So any yeshiva whose talmidim aren't coming to him after they leave the yeshiva has failed. He has not done his job properly. It's both the talmud and the rebbe, but it's together. That's the main thing you learn. Go out of Punk Chaim Berlin, the yeshiva, Rav Hutner, Zecharon Levera, taught his talmidim what it means to have their heritage for a rebbe. And he was talking, made a gewaltig kesher with the Talmidim. It lasted a lifetime and beyond. So the kid says, you learn a lot of things from your Rebbeim. I'll tell you in a second what you learn from your Rebbeim. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kinas l'rishoyim ra'alem ra'aloylam. When wicked people get together, it's bad for them and bad for the world. But when tzaddikim get together, Kinas l'tzaddikim, when tzaddikim get together, it's good for them and good for the world. The word says, Pizla Rishayim. When Rishayim get all scattered, it's good for them. It's good for the world when the Rishayim are scattered. When Tzaddikim are scattered and they don't get together, they don't periodically come together, Tzaddikim, it's bad for them and bad for the world. Tzaddikim should get together. The company of Tzaddikim is the best thing. And it says, Navos, Yibeischa Beisvat LeChachamim. Your house should be a place where Chachamim get together. You should try to have a shear in your house. Or your wife should have a shear for the ladies in their house. That's the way to go. But if your house is a bleeding place for Narishkeit, it's very bad. Your house, so he'll tell you, I can't get over the square rabbit, the Alta square rabbit's yards, I think it was Beis Nissen. It was great. I think I was a kid, it made a big rush on me, although my home had a television in it, maybe two, but I remember when I was a kid, I heard that he went to visit, whenever he went to people's houses to collect the money for square, he wouldn't go into a house if there was a television. Maybe that's why he created a holy place like Skver, despite all the Skver bashers who love bashing Skver so much. Oh, they found a little fault in Skver. Terrible. Terrible. Ganavim, Reitzchim, murderers, thieves, penitentiary, jailbirds. They just love it because if you knock them in one area, then you can vilify everything they stand for. But nice, it's a holy, pure place, which is Ruchnius, is a holy, holy little city over there. And it was built holy by the Friedrich Rebbe. Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. Wouldn't walk in the house with the television. Some people, they have tzaddikim come to the house and they fool them, they hide the television sets, you know. Like the guys who buy them in the Focus Electronics at Borough Park and take them out in the air conditioning boxes. You know, it's Focus pays people to buy air conditioners to leave the box behind so they can sell, they use the box for the guys who buy the television to walk out because the Shemtzich in the street to have a television. I don't know why, been barbed, but the mice, they're ashamed that the world should have a television. God not ashamed of, but people they're ashamed of. So, people tell them, guy this week, his car gets a little smashed up. One light gets broken. What's it happening to me? Why is my light getting smashed up? Why did I smash my, because your light in your life, you have Torah, but you have other things in your house. If you have one thing, you have two things in your house, it doesn't go. Hashem says you have to smash one of those lights. You have two kinds of lights. You have the light of Torah in your house, very nice. You have light of televisions, videos, an Irish guy in your house. So Hashem's telling you a message. The things don't just happen. You don't have mistakes and accidents by itself. It doesn't happen by itself. If you have shakas with Talmud Chacham, he'll explain to you what the problem is. If you don't, you'll say to yourself, oh, bad luck, I better go back to driving school. But if you have seichel, you realize that if you have two lights and one light gets smashed, you'll say, because maybe I have two different kinds of competing lights in my home. I have the light of Torah and the light of television. Torah and television don't work. It's even worse. You know, there's a famous story of our uncle, Belyameir Bloch. In Belyameir Bloch, there was a family in Cleveland who was having a lot of tzaras in the early 1950s. Big tzaras, people, sickness and tzaras. There's a yeshiva. What should they do about it? She says, well, let me hear about your house. Well, we're a very, very, we have a very holy house, actually. Oh, really? Yeah. As a matter of fact, our family dedicated the writing of a Sefer Torah. We're very chashuva people. We wrote a Sefer Torah. Really? Right. But, very interesting. So where's the Sefer Torah? Well, so actually, originally we had a Sefer Torah in the shul. I mean, in the house. We said, oh, be a schooler for the house. We had a Sefer Torah in the house. But, you know, then the Torah started in our house, and we said to ourselves, oh, now we understand what the problem is, because we have a television in the house, and we have a Sefer Torah in the house. And we realized, we had enough seichel to realize that Torah and television go together. So we decided that the television, the Torah, Hashem is angry at us. So what we did, we got rid of the Torah. And we gave the Torah to the shul, because we wouldn't want to, we want the invasion of the Torah by having a Torah and a television in the house, so we're good people. We got rid of the Torah. We wouldn't invasion it, so they gave it to the shul. They couldn't figure out what was the problem, why they're still having sickness and sorrows in the house. They're so mechaber the Torah. They're mechaber the Torah. They wouldn't leave it the same as the television. Here I saw a sensitivity. Gewaltige sensitivity throughout the Torah. Gewalt. So, these are the things that when you have a Talmud Chacham, I'll explain to you that you made the Fedrate the Yaitis, you idiot. Leave the Torah and throw the television. So ye base Chavad the Chachamim, Vevi Mesavik Vafa Regalehem, and roll in the dust of their feet. Meaning to say that Talmud Chacham, my Rebbe, Rebbe Chaim, Martha, Katz, Zeret, Sadr, say, by a kleine mensch, idar kleine kaiten, by little people, is little things. By grace and mention, by big people, not just little things. Everything's important. Having misadik b'afaragaleim, roll the dust of a talmud chacham. Even the dust of a talmud chacham is chashuv. If you watch a talmud chacham, it clips his nails, it's chashuv. A talmud chacham, you'll watch him, like takes out the garbage, it's chashuv. His dirt is chashuv. Everything is chashuv by a talmud chacham. Everything he does with the gabaltik is, I told you, I'm sure I told you, but always worth repeating. Such a meridik amaisa, where in Miami Beach, where Zoyche, to have the presence of Kavoy Kedushas Admir, So he used to swim. The Rebbe knew how to take care of his body too. And he used to come to Miami and do exercise and swim. And one day my friend, who was Mishamashim, saw the Rebbe in the pool. He used to stay in someone's house there. And so the Rebbe was by the side of the pool. And he sees the Rebbe was shaking his head like this, doing some kind of an exercise like this. And then he was going like this. It's good for his neck, because, you know, tzaddikim, they have their heads down all the time. It's the only Rebbe Shlita. So his head is like this so often. It's no exercise, so his mamash hurt his esophagus. So the Bava used to do his exercise. But my friend saw the Rebbe was mumbling something to himself when he was going like this and going like that. So he was wondering what it was, so he creeped up a little closer, and the Rebbe was saying something. So he listened to what the Rebbe said. And so when the Rebbe was doing the exercise, so the Rebbe says, when he's going like this, he said, 999, that's looking 9 to the Yitzhah Huda. Yo, but that's looking yo to the Yitzhah Toif. So the Rebbe was taking this little exercise, which the doctor recommended for his neck being supple and flexible, and he was maleh, such an exercise, which was necessary and has value in and of itself, but he was making this physical therapy into spiritual therapy as well. So, when you, even from the dirt, from the dust of a Talmud Chachim, you can learn. Of course, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, B'kvoy de Batzmai. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, B'kvoy de Batzmai, was the Godel Hador every Friday afternoon when the Bachim left the yeshiva in Volozhin, and it was quiet in the yeshiva. In Volozhin was 24 hours a day, but Friday afternoon it was a little quiet, so when no one was looking, Reb Chaim would lay down on the floor of the yeshiva in Volozhin and roll around all over the floor of the yeshiva to Mekayim Havi Misavik Ba'afer Agleim, Shel Talmid Chachamim, of his own Talmidim. So Mekayim literally have a Misavik Ba'afer Agleim. So I never was a Bacher, I heard such a Maisa, what a Reisha makes, what it means. What it means, the Heilige Shmutz of Talmid Chachamim, the yeshiva. Rabbi Shoysa Batzom Ez Divreyim, and drink the words of Zechom with a Gewaltig thirst. And if you're really thirsty, you'll go hear all the time whatever they say. And even something trivial has some value. You'll hear it again 3 times, has some value. Have you shown you with someone? If you really mean it seriously, you'll write it down. Again, if you don't write it down, it's a gonished. I'm telling you, write things down, you have oitzris for the rest of your life. You have oitzris gedolos for the rest of your life. Unbelievable. People don't write, I can't understand people who don't write down. They hear the retire of the Mirchamim and they don't write it down. What does it mean? What's the value of it? You just, in one ear, out the other, you're gonna forget it, guaranteed. This morning I was looking up, so I remember I heard a word now, it's from 1986. I couldn't remember it. So I took out, every time I go to Israel, I keep a diary. So, and I keep a special diary, and I keep on every year, I add to the diary all the time. I already have six or seven such notebooks from all my trips to Eretz Yisrael. I booked out a diary, trip two, Eretz Yisrael, 1986, looked it up. And on the way, looking it up, I saw a conversation, I had Rav Shach and conversation with Rav Moshe Halberstam, with Badatz, and with this Rebbe, and that Rebbe, and the son of a Rebbe. And I forgot all these things, but I said, wrote it down, it's written down, trace it with some of the Rebbe, I can get it back again. It's just a notebook away. You pull out a notebook, you have it forever. And I don't have a bad memory. And believe me, I've supposed to say these things over a few times. But if you write it down, you have it. Otherwise, 15 years later, it's gone with the wind. Havishaisa b'tzama, mamish b'tzama, the frame, but you're thirsty. You have to write it down. And you know what? I'll bring you a proof. The last post that the Chavetz always brings is that you have to spend your time with the Amir Chamim. He says, Oz Nidru, the post of Malachi, right? Is the Midav Torah for next week. Mamish don't have Torah for Shabbos HaGadol. As mamish near the end there, it says, Oz Nidru, Yirei Hashem, Yishrayeyu. Vayakshav Hashem Yishma. When two Yidden, Yirei Hashem, learn Torah together. And when the Talmud goes to a Rebbe to hear Yerushalayim from the Rebbe, Vayakshav Hashem, Hashem is interested in hearing. The Rebbe Hashem wants to listen. What's going on with you? Let me hear it. Vayakshav Hashem Yishma. Vayikosei b'sefer zikaron lefonov. And Hashem writes it, Hashem himself writes it down. And so, having medavik b'drachav, if Hashem writes down the conversation of Yirei Shamayim, because of the safer is the current upon what's the end of the pasuk? The yadishma. The pasuk is left. See, it's not in front of you. He doesn't give you the end of the pasuk. Give a chumash there, please. Because of the safer is the funny action of Yishma, right? Lo yavav alachay shvei shemo. Lo yavav alachay shvei shemo. Dachs of the pasuk ends, right? That's the after of Shabbos Hagadol. It should be in Shabbos Hagadol, right? Shabbos Hagadol. Yeah, Gvaltik Avtaira next week. Make sure you listen carefully to it. Such a Gvaltik Avtaira. Oz Nidbri Yireya Adonai Yishrayeyu. Vayakshav Adonai Vayishma. Vayakosti Vesefer Zekoran Lefonov. Li Yireya Adonai Ulechosh Veshemo. So those persons who really have Yerushalayim and Choyish Yishma, they think about Hashem's name all day, whenever they have a conversation and the Talmud goes to the Rebbe to hear it, so Hashem writes it down. If Hashem writes it down, we shouldn't write it down. And like my Shver, Rav Gifty used to always say, Zechet Tzad Livracha, Taizis Dekasha in Brachas, was it the Vav Medalev, Zayin Medalev, Taizis, because on the top over there, Mr. Dick, was it Vav Medalev, Zayin Medalev? So Taizis asks, what's the big chiddush that Hashem writes down when he hears Torah, when two people learn the Chavrus or Rebbe in the Talmud? It says, Kol Masecha B'Sefer Nechtavim. Everything is written in the Sefer. Hashem writes everything down. So what if Hashem writes this down? Everything is written down. Well, first of all, so Taizis gives various terutzim, but by Shrei, he says, Gevaltik. He says, Avat Hashem writes everything down. First, it doesn't say Hashem writes everything. It says, Kol Masecha B'Sefer Nechtavim. It's written down. It doesn't say Hashem writes it down. This Hashem personally, so to speak, writes it down. That's one answer that just hits me right this second. But Hashem said different. He said that Kol Masecha B'Sefer Nechtavim is written in the Sefer, and it goes in the storage. It's in the files. It's in the hard drive. But when Divrei Torah are spoken, when it's Divrei Torah, when a Rebbe in the Talmud or Chavrusas, two Yidden share words of Yerushalayim and Torah, then V'yikosei B'Sefer Zikaron Lifonov. It's a Sefer that Hashem has in front of him all the time. It's Lifonov, it's open. It's so precious to the Rebbe Shalom, he doesn't store it someplace. He leaves the Sefer open all the time. Leaves the notebook open all the time. It's the Sefer Zikaron Lifonov. He loves it. Because it's so precious. So if the Rebbe Shalom is precious enough, any conversation in Torah Yerushalayim to write it down, so how can we allow ourselves just to sit and listen and be entertained and then forget about it next week? You said a word 2 weeks ago. What was it? Write it down. It's good enough for God. It's good enough for us. Let me just tell you, the Mesavik Bafar Agleim, the little dust you pick up in the Mechamim. I would have forgotten to tell you, but it just, my wife reminded me last night, once upon a time, the Zayder Blazer told his little daughter, Sarah Miriam, the Tanta Sarah Miriam, she was the wife, she was a little girl, and he asked her, So she later on married the Lutzker Rav, Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, our uncle, the uncle Zalman Sorotzkin. That was his youngest child, I believe. From a certain, he was married actually three times with Blazer. It was one of his youngest children. So he asked his daughter, Sarah Miriam, the future Lutzker Rebetzin, to go into the Beis Medrash in the middle of first Seder and call out a certain Bacher. Now this was unprecedented because, you know, Baruch Hashem is still yeshivas. Like, if you go to Lakewood, you go to Mir Yeshivas, again, I haven't been every yeshiva, so I can only speak for the ones I visit, that first Seder is so holy, and the Bacher, I saw Orangutan and Orangakoft and Lernan, you can't even walk in there, come out. It's unbelievable. It's packed. It's a fire. The noise is incredible. You're two blocks away from Mir Yeshiva during first Seder. It's like a waterfall. It's like Niagara Falls coming down. There's such a Raj Gadol. So, tells his little daughter, go on to Yeshiva, call it a Bacher, a little of Seder. Okay, called the Bacher. The Bacher, what does Rashiva want to speak to me? The Bacher is petrified. He's shaking. What does the Rashiva want from me? Middle of first Seder. What did I do already? Oh, Yuvay, I'm finished. Comes into the Rashiva's home. Blazer, the Zayda. Blazer tells the Bacher, sit down. Looks the Bacher in the eye and says to him, April Fools. What? April Fools. What? Yeah, he says, you should know. I had to Mekayim today on April 1st, a Yiddish Aminik of April Fools. Yiddish Aminik. Because the Goyim have April Fool's Day. If you look, they don't even know why they have April Fool's Day. They don't understand what it is all about. It's a fool somebody, an April Fool's. The Goyim don't know it's a Yiddish Azach. They got it from us. Because the Goyim, they believe that Yashka was born through immaculate conception. That means that his mother Mary, she never had relations with a man. He's not the son of a man, his father Joseph, or whoever it is, really Pandrik. But he's not the son of his father. He's the son of God. It's an immaculate conception. It's a clean conception. It doesn't come with a human being. It comes from God himself. That's what the Gospels preach. But we know that really she's Mazana. Not only was it from a man, it was from his daughter. That's what's called Yashka Pandrik. Because we know that his father's name was Joseph, but not his biological father. His biological father was a Roman person called Pandira, and that's why we call him Yashka Pandrik, because his Pandira is a Roman soldier who was Mazana with his mother, Miriam Mary. And if he was born on December 25th, that means she got pregnant 9 months earlier, which is April 1st. Figure it out. I got April 1st, and therefore this whole foolishness of Immaculate Conception started on April 1st. That the Goyim are being fooled, and this whole foolish Nairish guy started on April 1st. So therefore it's a Yiddish Aminig on April 1st, it's an April Fool, to remind the Veld of Zal's foolishness and Sheker and Hevel V'chazav. And the Goyim somehow borrowed it from the Yidden, and the Yidden lost the Minig, but we still have it, he says. We have a Messiah, this is the Minig. Therefore I call him one Bacher, talking about Seder. This is also Tyra. I called you in the middle of first Seder, it teaches, this is Euch Hashir, does not have an Euch Wissen, and therefore April Fools, Gatesrick and Yeshiva, and go back and steig away. This is what I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Gifter Zeres Halevrachanov. How are you going to hear such things in the world if you don't have a Rebbe? Who knows these things? This is a Messiah, you have these things, this, even such silly things, like April Fool, and I talk after that, I want you to know, I remember, I looked in the encyclopedia to look up April Fools, and this is many, many, many years ago, I must have heard this 25, 30 years ago, I remember I looked up the encyclopedia to see what April Fools is, and there's no pshat. You look in your Britannica, and you'll look up what April Fool's all about. They don't know pshat. Well, they don't know where it comes from. But we know where it comes from. The Easter Bunny. Now, where the Easter Bunny comes from? It comes from the Haggadah, from the Yag and Haz, right? We learned that last night. So there's all kinds of things that you learn that you pick up from your Rebbeim, you even realize it. And by the Rebbe's Bechlal, and the Briskers, they have so many Messiahs, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what you pick up from your Rebbeim, and the Zachen, the Emes is that it says in the Haggadah, at the little Haggadah, and then we'll get to Sanhedrin. I really want to go to the next Isbainus, whenever we started it, but okay. It says, the Maral says, Afilu Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevoinim, Kulanu Zekainim, Kulanu Yoidim as HaTorah. So Maral, in Gvuras Hashem, which we started talking about last night, Maral says pshat like this, why are there four Lashonas, that Afilu Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nevoinim, Kulanu Zekainim, Kulanu Yoidim as HaTorah, Mitzvah Alein L'Sapra, V'yitzitz V'tzrayim, V'kola Marvel L'Sapra, Reizam Meshubah. So Maral says like this, Chachamim is basic knowledge, Chacham is a person who has facts. Chacham is facts. Navoin is insights, perception, and going into the facts and comparing things one with the other and getting deeper insights into the fact that we learn from the Rebbe. So the Rebbe tells us one thing, and we start thinking ourselves, get a deeper insight in what the real meaning of this is, and it becomes deeper. That's the point. Zakenim, Zokain, you know, Chazal says Zokain is Zekon Chochma. Now the Rambam says a fascinating thing, it's such a push of the Kinech, but it's so emes. So Poyim Shad Zakenim is a Tamach Chochma. Zekon Chochma. It's in the trick, and the Gemara says Zekon Chochma. So the name Kona, which means acquisition, possession, kinyan, zakenim, atake kipshuta also, they're older. Older is a kinyan and chachma. That means that they learned not merely from classroom information, but they learned from the school of experience. Zekanacha means to have a kinyan in Torah, you have to learn from the school of experience. They saw it in life action. You know, in Latin they say experientia docet. That experience is the greatest teacher. Experientia docet. The greatest teacher is experience. Zok Moral, that's what Zekon Chochma. The real Zokim, meaning the higher level, bigger than the Chochem, and bigger than Novim, which is purely intellectual, is Zekon Chochma from experience in life. Wow, okay, fine. So what's left? So there's room for another Madregia. Yeah. A higher Madregia is Kulanu Yoidim Esatayr. What is Yoidim Esatayr? So Yoidim Esatayr Moral seems to have two knaches in Yoidim Esatayr. Yoizam is to really know Torah, to know it on the most intimate level. To know Torah at the most intimate level, Yoidim as a Torah, Zogmaral number one, you have to have a Messiah. You have to have a Messiah from your rebellion. So he implies that, again, Chachma, Bina, Zikna, you can guess maybe from book knowledge. A Chachma, I got facts. I read the art scroll, I finished Shas with the art scroll. Chachma, I got the Chachma. Then I got Bina, I read the footnotes. The footnotes gives you the Bina, that's the insights. So between the top and the bottom, I'm a chochem and a novel. Experience. So I put it into experience. I put it into action. A lot of things I learned. I learned from life. I was smart. Everything I learned was good. You're still not a yoidei es haTorah. To be yoidei es haTorah, to know intimately the Torah, you have to have a Messiah from a living Rebbe. You have to have a Rebbe who taught you what he learned from his Rebbeim, and it goes back to Messiah Mar Sinai. Then you have an intimacy with the Torah. You're hamish with the Torah. Yoidei es haTorah is to be hamish with the Torah. Hamish can only be if you had a Rebbe. And the Rebbe was hamish from his Rebbeim. It's part of your neshama. It's not intellectual. It's a neshama zach. It's your whole personality. It's totally colored and dyed and totally saturated with Torah. So you have a Messiah. And then you zoiche that the Rabbeinu Shalom himself teaches you. Then the Rabbeinu Shalom is Malami Torah. Then the Rabbeinu Shalom teaches you. Like Rabbeinu Shalom taught Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't have a Rebbe. He had direct from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Shtei tloyois of noivois Torah kamoi mayonois. His two kidneys were gushing over with Torah like two wells, like two great fountain springs. Meaning to say they got directly from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he says, Yodim the Torah is like a nevuah. But anybody, there's a nevuah, like the Ramban says in Daf Yud-Beis and the Beis of Abasra. The Gemara says, Chochem Odif mi Navi. A Talmud Chochem, a real Talmud Chochem, is bigger than the Navi. Because it says, V'Navi Levav Chochma. The Navi is compared to the Chochem. It says, the Navi has the heart of a Chochem. But it means the Chochem is bigger than the Navi. A Chochem, says the Ramban, is a Ruach HaKodesh of a Chochma. The highest level is a Ruach HaKodesh that you get from Torah itself. And that's when you learn it from a Rebbe. And then you're taka hooked up to the Messiah Messina, which is Nevuah. And that's Yoidim as HaTorah. Yoidim as HaTorah has an intimate knowledge of Torah. And he's a zoicha that he finally learns from the Rabbanu Shalom Alein. And Hashem gives him insights. And Hashem, Mamash, opens his mind up. And it's like, where does this come from? Where did I get this idea from? Where does this idea come from? Why do they open the Sefer? Punkt over here. Why do they open the Sefer? It's right over here. It's Hashem is teaching me. It's clear Hashem is teaching me. It's absolutely clear the Rabbanu Shalom is teaching me. I said over last night, remember by the Shabbat of Golgi, I said over a word from the Igra de Pirka, that's the Bnei Yisaster. Now, where did I see that vort? I saw it at 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday night, on Leil Shabbos. Now, why in the world, 2 o'clock in the morning, was I looking at the Igud HaPirka? I don't usually look at the Igud HaPirka. It's someplace in my bookcase. But the Teretz is Poshet. I see the whole Mahalach. Because on Friday morning, a Yid came to Shul, and he's putting tefillin on his son. And the Zayda of the Bar Mitzvah Bacher was here too. He came over from Bar Park. Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. So the Yid, the Zayda from Bar Park tells me that he comes from a town, I can't even pronounce the name, a klein a shtetl in Czechoslovakia, the granite zwischen Galicia and Czechoslovakia. I push it down, bekannt the name, and he says, you know, my Elter Zeder lived there, my Elter Zeder, Moshe Sheinfeld, was an Edom by the Heilig of Neyes Hosker. I said, really, Neyes Hosker, isn't that fantastic? Because I tell you about a word I saw from the Igor de Pirka once, a Gewalt de Gevor from the Igor de Pirka. I told him, I'm a Gewalt de Gevor from the Igor de Pirka. So he says, well, if the Igor de Pirka is, well, it was printed by my Zeder, Rav Moshe Sheinfeld. I said, isn't that interesting? Very nice. Okay. Mazel Tov, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom. That was Friday morning. Friday night, Balayla hu, Nadadosh, Nasa Melech. 2 o'clock in the morning, I just can't sleep. I just cannot sleep. I don't know. I'm tossing and turning. Whenever I can't sleep, why waste my time tossing and turning? I get up, go down to my study. What am I going to look? Let me look at the Igor de Pirka. I just spoke with Igor de Pirka this morning with this Yid. This Zayd, the printed Igor de Pirka. Let's look at the Igor de Pirka. I went to the Igor de Pirka. I flip over the Igor de Pirka. And there is the word I said over Shabbos and Gadol Drasha. There's the word about Duma and Shira and the Mal, this whole Shnickel Torah about Paro, Ha'irib. It was all. So it's like I said to Rabbi Shalom, the source I mentioned the name of the Igor de Pirka in the morning. So Rabbi Shalom wanted to teach me the Shnickel Torah. That I should say it over to the island was Pasha. I had other things to say. I had a whole different drush, as a matter of fact. But I said, it's been a Shemayim. The Baruch wants me to teach over the shtickle. This must be what the island has to hear. This is what I have to hear. Hashem, thank you for giving me the shir. It's Klor, no Shail in the world. And then, I open up the Maral. And I read the Maral. And he says, this, Mamash, these very words. There's four madrigas. There's Chachamim, Nevoinim, Zekainim, and Yoidim Zatayra. Yoidim Zatayra. If you have a Messiah from your rebellion, your Zaycha, that the Rebbeinu himself will make you hamish with the Torah. And that's gratis what I wrote. If you read this latest issue of the Jewish Observer, so I said over my Shver, which I think is the quintessential vort of my Shver, Zaycha Tzavit Vracha. The mamish, the essence of his whole Mahus, the Messiah. How many times have I heard from him? Endless times, but you can never hear it enough. He said, state in Mishlei, Ki Hashem yitein chokhma mipiv das utfuna. Hashem gives wisdom from his mouth is das utfuna. Real das, real understanding, and real insight is from the mouth of Hashem. Marshal to a melech who is feeding all of his troops, giving out shirayim, giving out the daily rations to everyone in the court, and everybody gets a portion, and suddenly his son comes home from the Beis HaSefer, son comes home from school, and the king says, Oi, mein kind, mein tayer zis kind, would you like some food from my tray over here? I'm giving everyone from the tray. So the kid says, no, I want not from the tray, Tati. I want from your own plate. I want from what was in your mouth. I want from the piece of meat that you bit into yourself. Dos vilachasen. The son, as their gift would say, the son doesn't want to eat food. He's not hungry for food. He's hungry for something even more. He's hungry for the tata lein. He's hungry for the rabbin. He's hungry for his father. He doesn't want food. He doesn't want down food for his belly. He wants food for his neshama, for his emotional needs. He wants a father. He wants a relationship with his father. How many fathers give the kid all the food and all the money in the world? They don't give themselves. A child wants the father himself. So to entire. Hashem yitin chachma. Those who are not in the right madrega, Hashem gives them a gift of chachma. They're learning Torah for what reason? Chachma. They're learning the whole day. I learned this, I learned that. What are you learning for? I want to be smart. I want to sound smart. I want to be a Talmud Chacham. What do you want a Talmud Chacham? Because you want to be smart. I want to know Torah. But they don't want the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. They want Torah. So Hashem, look, you want Torah? Hashem, Yitin Chacham. Here is Chacham. But the Chacham has nothing to do with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in the end. Because it's divorced from him. It came from him originally, but now it's away from him. Because they're not living godly lives, not godly people. They're intellectual. They're learning Torah intellectually. But Mipiv Dasu Tfuna. For the person who doesn't really want Torah, I want the Dvar Hashem. I want to kiss Hashem's lips. I want Hashem to kiss me. Yishakenim neshikos piu ki toivim ledech meyayin. That person who wants mamish Hashem, I realize that the chokhmah of the Torah is a means, is the closest way that mamish eat up their banish himself. Ufes their banish malein. So that person mamish gets the Torah mipiv das utuna. They get the real insight in the Torah. They're understanding what Torah really is. But a person who I want my television set. I want to be a Talmud Chacham. I want to say nice things at the table to my kids. I want to say nice things at the Friday night table. I want to start smart, be smart guy too. So he wants chokhmah, he doesn't want to live a godly life. He doesn't want God, he wants God's wisdom. Hashem, here's my wisdom. Hashem yiten chokhmah, he'll give it to you. But it's not God himself, because you don't want to be godly. If you want to be godly, it's a whole lifestyle of godliness. It's a lifestyle of Yerushalayim. It's a lifestyle of Ruchnias. Mipiv dasutuna. So that is the Yoydim HaSatayr. So therefore, says the Chavis Levavis, that if a person wants to be alone with God, the best way is to spend time, spend your life with Tamil Chachamim. You'll be with a Tamil Chachim, a real Tamil Chachim, a real Tamil Chachim. You'll be mamish alone with the Rabbanish Malay. You'll be Zaychet Oz Nidbur Yirei Adonai Yishreyehu, Vayakiv Hashem Yishma, Vayikosev Vesefer Zikaron Lefonav, Liyirei Hashem Ulechoy Shvei Shemai. Rabbi Chanai Vekashem Rezakadosh Baruch Hu Zagas Yol Vicham Baruch Hamid. It's been a while. Okay. So, we are on the 18th meditation, Ofen Yudches, in the Chayvus Levavus Shar Cheshvan and Nefesh Perek Gimel. And this is a very, very important meditation. Very important. The Chayvus Levavus says a person should make the following soul search when he finds that in his heart he is tainted with arrogance and pride, and he has too much ambition for greatness and high position in this world. A person finds himself overly ambitious, overly proud, you need something to put a damper on yourself. This is what you should think. You should realize that on the one hand, man, compared to many other creations, both on this globe, on this earth, and compared to creations in the universe, is really insignificant and nothing. Compared to the greatness of a sun, a star, which has so much power, and so much fuel, and so much energy, and so much light, why is the little man? It's nothing. Incinerated into nothing. Man compared to a volcano. Power in the volcano. If you think you're strong, volcano can just kill 30, 40, 50, 100,000 people in one explosion, one eruption. Start thinking about man's weakness, man's insignificance. So realize that man is nothing physically. On the other hand, a person should realize that despite the fact that really physically and even emotionally and mentally a man is very weak, Hashem has given man a license over all animals, over the whole animal kingdom, the whole vegetable kingdom, the entire mineral world, everything in nature. As we say in Psalm 8, Tam Shilei V'mas Yodecha, God has given man sovereignty over everything he created, all his handiwork. Kol shato tachas raglav, you've put everything beneath man's feet. So everything, we are taka, the masters of the universe, but only by divine license. And even more than that, says the Chavos Levavos. Really, as Jews, you must know that the ultimate power that God has invested us with is that God has revealed to us the rules of the Torah by which man really and truly rules the world. It would appear that it is the scientists and the geologists and the seismologists and the hydrologists and the space engineers and all these people who drill for oil and the people who know how to put up grand coulee dams which can generate enough electricity for a million people a day. You would think that those engineers who create these colossal, titanic engineering marvels, they are the true masters of the world. You think the man who can put a man in space, he's a real master of the world? No. That's true. That's at some level. It's impressive. But the greatest power that God has invested in mankind is the power that the Jews have, that we know the laws of the Torah by which we govern the world. And there's a lot of great secrets there about the higher worlds and the low worlds and this world and other worlds and the next world and the world to come. And God only gave it to us for our sake, so that we should get the maximum benefit. After all is said and done, so we're here to serve God, indeed, Hashem, we're servants, but the purpose why God wants us to serve Him is that we should be His sons, and He wants to give us the maximum benefit and advantage that's available from this world. So he says this is a very fine-tuned meditation. A man must realize how his own basic self is relatively insignificant compared to a lot, many other things in the world. But on the other hand, how incredibly significant and important we are because of what Hashem has entrusted us with. And why did Hashem give us this ability? He says, the truth is that Hashem gave us one other gift, one other advantage, one other possibility. And that is, the highest thing is, that Hashem has elevated us to the highest level, it seems to be even higher than Torah, or maybe this is the purpose of Torah, that Hashem has given us the permission, Hashem gave us permission to daven. We can daven to Hashem and sing His praises and give a bracha to Hashem. Who are we to give Hashem blessings? Who are we to praise Hashem? What are we? Would we be impressed if a frog came over and said, man, you look good. Would you be impressed if a little snail, a little spider, a little ladybug smiled at us? You're a good looking guy. You're smart. Who cares? A little amoeba protozoa would praise us and say, ooh, you're chashuv. Of course I could crush that protozoa. It's nothing. It's worthless. So Hashem can. We can cry out to Him when we have tzaras. Two things. We can communicate with God. The fact that we can communicate with Hashem is a tremendous chesed, that in good times we can praise Him, and in times of tzara, we can call out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam answers us. And higher than that is the Chayvus Levavos, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us Nevi'im. Bacha Mikir Beinu Nevi'im Toivim. And he shalach oisam eleinu kdei lekorei v'isanu l'avodasai. So just in case we are forgetting what we're supposed to do, the Banisham sent Nevi'im to lift us to the darg we should be on. And even today we have Nevi'im. Chacham adav mi Navi. A Talmud Chacham is even bigger than a Navi. Because a Navi it gives his metaphors in Olam Hasidic terms. And the Talmud Chacham is adav mi Navi nevuisha v'chachma. So the Baj never forgets us. But the mile of the Nevi'im was that at the time of the Nevi'im, the Nevi'im Mosar, the Nevi'im Asaidus Gvurasai, the Hera Al Yada Maifsim. The Nevi'im had the mile that they could show extraordinary miracles and wonders and Maifsim, and that would arouse Yidden to realize that they have to jump to be worthy of these Maifsim. This a Talmud Chacham cannot do. Besides the many other taivas Hashem does for us, the gashmias, the ruchnias, the nistarais, the gluyais, Hashem does many, many things. He does things for people in general. He does for certain yechidim. And there's many, he says that it's too long to count. So therefore he says, we have to have this constant adjustment. On the one hand, habet na'ochi, my brother, look at yourself, look in the mirror, kama olav hu erkechol, what are you? You're full of acne pimples. You smell if you don't put cosmetics on. Bezuya mahuscha, your own mahus. If you wouldn't take a bath, you'd smell. You'd have a foul odor. And look at everything about your hygiene. Look at everything inside you. Look at the schmutz inside you. Look what you are, betzem. Your pus and pimples and schmutz and dirt and foul odor and nothing and was bistah. You have bad breath and you're clean and you die a couple of days without any food and then you make so many mistakes. So beluma zeh. Look how high the Rebbeinu has taken you and made you great. Hashem has made you very, very great. Hashem has made you very great, and He made it. And He doesn't need you. Hashem doesn't need us. Hashem doesn't need us. We need Him so much, and the more we need Him, the less He needs us. Chusna ala Torah hanala azoy shiiter eschaba. Have Rachmanis on the crown, that Torah chusna, ala Torah nala azoy sheiter oischabah. Have Rachmanis on the crown that Hashem gave us. Hashem gave you a wonderful position in this world. Don't lose your job. Don't get fired. And Hashem has such a wonderful retirement IRA prepared to you in Olam Haba. He has a big retirement fund in Olam Haba. Big things ready. Don't mess it up. How do you assure yourself that you won't mess things up? You won't lose it all? By being asir toidah elav, by being indebted to the Rebbeinu Shlom, Ayo Hashem, so much, I have to daven. I don't come to davening in the morning like a burden, I'm really tired, I have to sleep, I'll do God a favor, I'll come. Or embarrassed with my wife and kids, I gotta come to shul. I'm embarrassed with the rabbi, he's gonna ask me where I was the other day. Gotta come to davening because it's a little embarrassing, they might ask me where I was. I mean, no one in the shul is asking where he was, that's for sure, but the rabbi might ask. Supposed to ask. This night I was shocked to tell someone, I was in someone's house, I tell him about a very wonderful person, and Shuli says, who's that? I said, you've been davening here for 5 years, you don't know who this person is? How's it shayach? You're davening in the same shul, the fellow's maybe 10 seats away from you, you don't know who he is? Something's very wrong. So the reason to come to davening is not because of guilt, to come to davening because of akoras hatoiv, asir toidah, I am chained, I'm imprisoned, and I can't, to my hakaras hatoif of somebody. We all know the importance of hakaras hatoif. Gratitude is the site of all avodas Hashem is gratitude. Now, he says, don't let all the chasadim of Hashem make you a balgaiva. Right? Don't think, he says, al tit telachshav ki chasadim hatoif es halalu magiyim lecha mitzad adin. Don't think that Hashem owes it to us. It's mitzad adin. Hashem made me, he owes it to me. If Hashem made me, he owes it to me. He made guppies also. He made little lizards, but they're not so smart as you are. The lizard doesn't speak, and the lizard can't walk on 2 feet, and the lizard can't make spaceships, and the lizard can't make a mathematical combination, and the lizard can't learn a blot gemara. So Hashem doesn't owe it to us. He can make bruin without anything. So don't be big. And therefore when you ask for Hashem things, don't be arrogant. Very important. Very important. This is what I'm trying to bring out. Don't have ambitions which are far beyond your level. Always ask for something, the next step. Ask the next step. Not something far-fetched, something way out. And he said like this. And this is, my friend, is one of the most important shtickles from the Chavos Levavos. Umasuper. Alachad HaTzadikim. One of the tzaddikim to say after his davening, Elohai, loy mipnei she'eneni makir es pechisus erki, v'loy mipnei she'eneni yodei es gedulos chav es rama muscha, hir hafti lama lefanecha. Rabbi Yishlom, don't think for a second that I dared have the chutzpah stand before you because I don't realize how nothing I am and I don't realize how great you are, Heilig Abba Shefer. I know that you are so great, but unfortunately a lot of us don't think about that when we daven. But this fellow, I know that I'm stealing before Melech al Ramanisa. I know Ani Olov Bozoi Vikotn. I know that I am disgusting, disgraceful, and clean. I'm so trivial. I like to think I'm big shot. I'm so clean. I'm so small. What's really in my mind during davening is Nairish guy. As I'm davening, I'm thinking about taking my suit to the cleaner. And I'm davening, I think when I'm after breakfast, Cheerios or Rice Krispies, in the middle of my davening, I'm such a klein man, I'm so small. Every little cheshmer is also selfish, so petty, so trivial. I know, Rabbi Yishlom, how olav and bozli and kotn I am. I know what a silly person I am. And during Shmoneh Esrei, I'm looking at my pants, I think, oh, it's a little dirty, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, my pocket, you know, there's the key, I need to make a copy of my key, and I could pick up some photographs, and I have a whole list for today what I have to do, and it's not like, and by the time it says, Lakhina Sor, maybe I get back. I know I'm nothing. I'm so small. I'm so petty. I know I'm not worthy of coming to you to ask you favors, Rabbi. Who am I? None of us would. Who of us thinks to go to Washington and knock on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to speak to President Bush? I got a problem with my IRS form. You know, I didn't like the refund I got, President. You know, maybe I could speak to you, Shiloh. None of us would dare. The only fellow who did these kind of, Abraham Lincoln was the only fellow you could come. Mamash knocked on his door in the Lincoln bedroom, his Meshigga. That's why everyone loved Abraham Lincoln so much, because Abraham Lincoln, this Shkafir to your president. Abraham Lincoln, anybody can come to him. But today, you want to speak to President Bush? We know we'll never get an appointment with President Bush. Who can speak to President Bush? And who am I to speak to the Rebbeinu Shlomo? And who am I to Mekadesh Hashimcha Makudesh? Who am I to say Kadosh, 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 Asem Tzvakos, Meloich HaLaretz Kavayda? Who am I to make believe I'm a Malach HaShareis? Who am I as such an arrogance, such presumptuousness? I'm Mekadesh you with the Kedusha, Shibo Magdisha, Ma'ischa, Malachim, HaKadosh, Ma'yayinim. However, the only reason I do it, Rebbeinu Shlomo, is because you gave me permission. Hirhati lasois, v'vdei shiramam to isi bazeh, shetzivisi li likrei lecha. You commanded me to call out to you. That's the only reason I have the nerve and the chutzpah. So when I say Kedusha, I do it trembling. We should tremble by Kedusha. We don't tremble by Kedusha. First of all, the Kedusha by Kriya Shema, it's called the sitting Kedusha, Kedusha the Miyusha. We should say it out loud with the chazan. And Baruch Kvodesh, everything we say out loud. Baruch Kvodesh, we say out loud. And the Kedusha of the Sidra, during Asher Balatzim, we should say it out loud. It's very important. And the Kedusha by Chazaras Hashatz, we should tremble. Wow, Hashem allowed me to praise Him. I should say Hashem is Kaddish. I'm going to go over, you know, it's like presumptuous. You go over to a great, I'm going to go over to, I'll go over to the Gedolei HaDor, I'll go there to Shomer Hashem, I'll go to Rav Yashiv. I'm going to tell Rabbi Yashiv, you know, you're a great rabbi, you're terrific. Some people come up to you sometimes, they say, it's almost embarrassing. They go, Rabbi, you're terrific, you're great. This is wonderful. It's almost a chutzpah, like, you know, as if you're like, who are you to go, you know, you go around praising, as if you're the critic from the New York Times, and you're telling me what I am and what I'm not, and you're deciding whether it was a good speech, it was a bad speech, that was fantastic, you're outstanding, you're wonderful, you did a great job. It's really inappropriate to go over to somebody and start praising them if it is a different level. So if you go over to the God Lador, you go over to a big tzaddik and say, hey, you're a terrific person, you pat him on the back, you're doing a great job, Rabbi, and I think you should keep that up, Rabbi. Rav Shach, you know, you're doing great, that's really great. There, go over to the Ger Rebbe, you go over to the Square Rebbe. Rabbi, you're a wonderful person. I think you're high, you're humanitarian, you remind me of Albert Schweitzer. I'm telling you, I think you should get the Nobel Peace Prize, Rabbi. I really think you're right up there with the pantheon of great people. You're a wonderful, what a presumptuousness, what a chutzpah. I'm going to go praise a great man. The mamash of chutzpah. So, who are we to go praise the Rebbeinu Shlom? Kadosh, we're Mevinim of Kedusha, Mizan Grace of Mevinim. Mizan Mevinim of Kedusha. Kadosh, Kadosh. Rebbeinu Shlom doing a very good job, Rebbeinu Shlom. I get an A for effort this week. Last week it wasn't so good. The market was down. But this week, the market went up. The Dow Jones, the S&P was gone fine. So this week, guys, doing a very good job in the economy. Last week's pretty lousy. And I think I could have done a better job. But this week, by the way, did a very nice job. Kadosh, 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 they're very good. Who are we to talk to the Rebbeinu Shlom? And now, Zokta Heilige Chayvus Levavis, this Rabbi Sai is the Yisod of Tefillah. Zokta Chayvus Levavis, this is what a person should, this is what the Tzaddik said after his davening, and what we should have in mind every day we daven. If you don't have this in mind, we're missing the whole Advort. The Chayvus Levavis is addressing himself to the most famous question about davening. Why in the world do I have to go over and daven to the Rebbeinu Shlom? He knows what's good for me and what's bad for me. It's like the word of the stifler. When the person came over and said, Rebbe, I need this, I need that, I have a lot of needs. And the stifler, the Heilige Stifler says, you couldn't possibly need it. You know, I tell you the story all the time. Why? I need it. No, he said, because you made a bracha this morning. Baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam, sha'asah li kol tzarkei. Blessed is Hashem who took care of all my needs. I made the bracha, Birkas HaShachar. That means if I need it, Hashem gave it to me. If He didn't give it to me, I don't need it. So Hashem knows what's best for me. Hashem knows what's good for me. So who am I to daven to Hashem to change things around? I'm giving Hashem advice, how to run my life. What a chutzpah. It's like your kid telling you, you know, 6-year-old, you know, I really don't want to go to this playgroup. I really like another playgroup. I know better. I like that playgroup over there. You know, don't send me this yeshiva. I like the facility in that yeshiva better. The times are better for me. So Tati and Mommy, I don't like this kind of cereal you're feeding me entire. It's too nutritious. I don't like the vitamins you're giving me. And I don't like the sleep hours you're giving me. I want to stay up till 12 o'clock at night. And as a matter of fact, I think we should talk about a television and get a video. Unfortunately, many parents, they were so smart they bought it ready for the kid. So went to someone's house yesterday. You know, it's great. People, I go around collecting money. Sometimes for tzedakah, so people think I'm coming to Shem Shemayim, go collect tzedakah, really spying on everybody. So it's a great excuse to jump in on people's houses. So sure, that, the Shabbos after Abdullah, Dveikus, come to people's house, television is blaring already, right away, shining the television. That's my way to infiltrate. So remember, next time I come to your house, it's just a spy mission. Just remember. And you can't do it to me what the Chinese did to the American planes. So, the kids, Zok the Chaylov Zlavavis, listen to this, the Chaylov Zlavavis, listen, but serious, Zok the Chaylov Zlavavis. The tzaddik said, Lo hedati lecho es tzrochai, kdei lo oirer oyscha losseis li oysom. I did not ask you, I did not bring my shopping list during Shmoneh Esrei to inspire you, Hashem, to encourage you to give me what I'm asking for. No. Atoyedeya ba'atzmecha, mashatoy vavuri, v'keitzadlis nahegite. You, Rabbi Yisrael, know better what's good for me. You, Rabbi Yisrael, know better how to deal with me. I'm not going to give you advice. I have the chutzpah to give the Rabbi Yisrael advice. Kenizayin. You know better than me what I have to have. Elo asisi's eyes. Listen. Kedei sha'argish. I only gave you the list to show you, Rabbi Shlom, that I know that without you, how much I need you. That's why I told you about it. I said, Rabbi Shlom, I want, this is what I think I need. But not that, I know you know better, but I'm just telling you, if I need anything, I come to you. If I need something, I have no way of getting it myself. I know unless you're masking, Rabbi Shlom, it's not possible. Gonished. I'm just showing you how much I need zokel, how much I need you. Ukdei labia lefanecha shani b'tei b'cha, and to express before you that I put my full faith in you. This is what I think I need, Rabbi Shlom. You do what's right, but I just want you to know one thing: the only person I speak to about my needs is you. You're my only address. The only website I come to, Rabbi Shlom, is god.com. That's right. That's where I do all my business. I don't surf the net. I say, oh, maybe I'll get a Yeshua over here. I get a Yeshua over there. I'll run to this doctor. I'll run to this. I go right to you. I go to god.com, and it's a straight, direct. That's all I want. Hashem, help me, Rabbi Shlom. This is what I think I need. I don't know. I'm just saying it, Rabbi Shlom. I want you to know that I'm bottled to you. If machmas bikashti mimcha davar, and if because of my stupidity and my foolishness and my immaturity and my selfishness, I've asked for something inappropriate that's not good for me, and it's not the Tayales Avuri, Alna Temale as Bakashasi, I'm hereby putting in a clause, Rabbi Shlom, just wipe it out. Just erase, delete. Press the delete button, Rabbi Shlom, and forget it. I'm sorry, I mentioned on Shuldek, Rabbi Shlom is my stupidity. I didn't chas v'shalom come to dictate to you, Rabbi Shlom, what's right and wrong. I merely am here to show I'm surrendering my life to you. The only person I ask things from is you, Rabbi Shlom. You do what's right by you. My Bechira Chavshis is that I give my Bechira over to you. My free choice, Rabbi Shlom, is that I know that you choose better than me. So, why should I waste my time? That's the only thing Hashem, that's the ultimate Bechira Chavshis. People think I have to do for myself. I to the biggest Shtadlis world. The Shtadlis, the Shtadlis, the Shtadlis, the Shtadlis. You can't count on God too much. You can't put too much in God's hand. You know, don't overburden God. You know, he's a little old already, God. He's around for 500,000 years. He's a little out, you know, some people think of putting him in a assisted living house. 500,000 years, you know. That's pretty old. And, you know, the man deserves a vacation every now and then. So don't overburden God. Don't like, well, you know, you can't handle it. And there's 6 billion people today. A lot of, stuff going up to God. So come on, a little rachmanis on God. Have no rachmanis on the Rabbi Nishalaylam. Have rachmanis on ourselves. And Rabbi Nishalaylam says, just dump it all on me. Hashtech al Hashem Yehovcha. V'hu yichal kalecha. The Rabbi Nishalaylam says, break the plates. Hashem just says one thing. Know what you should choose. Choose to give it all over to me. That's what he's supposed to say, he says. I'm only, kimasha b'chiros l'yoyin b'cheres avuri. It's yaisetov b'masha ani b'ichel atzmi. I give over all of my matters to your gzeira, which cannot be changed. I'm not going to go to the court of appeals. I'm not going to bug you. Ah, that's very important. So a person davens, and then Hashem makes a certain answer. He says, oh no, I didn't like that, Rabbi Shlom. I'm going to get an appeals. I want an appeal. I want to, you have to have a little humility and surrender. I give myself over to you. Azoy David HaMelech gezocht, he says, the ultimate was David HaMelech. David HaMelech said to him,
Kuf Lamed Aleph, David HaMelech said, Adonai, Loigov Alibi, the Rebbeinu, my heart was not proud, the Loiromu Einai, and my eyes were not haughty, I didn't have big hasogis above my madrega, I did not go into matters, I did not pursue matters too great and too far-fetched and remote for me. Rather, I swear that I stilled and silenced my soul, kigamul aleimo, like a suckling child at his mother's breast. Kigamul aleinavshi, like a suckling child, like a baby who's nursing, that's how my neshama is with you, Rabbi Shlom. Just like a baby doesn't tell the mother what to do, it just instinctively goes to the mother's breast and sucks from the mother's breast, so to Rabbi Shlom, I just come to you, whatever you feed me is fine. I don't give you advice, I don't tell you what to do, I merely instinctively just, it's a sucking instinct, I just suck from you, Rabbi Shlom, that's it. So, gvalt the gazat. All the tzaras in life is because we spring too high. Even in Ruchni as a person, on the one hand, a person, there's a difference between this bikush, a person can have great goals in life, but there's long-term goals and short-term goals. But the person should want to be a gadol and tzaddik and a gon for the children also. But you can't treat your child who's 10 years old like the gadol ador. Certain things maybe, yeah, you have to watch your child. The Chazal says, Al-Tigav Meshichai, Umviyai Al-Tareyu. Who's Meshichai? Elu Tinoika Shaves Rabba. That any child, you have to think, he might become the Mashiach someday. That's one way of looking at your child, which is true. You have to think, my child might be Roy for Mashiach. I should give my child a chinuch, Al-Tigav Meshichai, say Chazal, Elu Tinoika Shaves Rabba. That means you have to treat your child or the child in class with great respect and great derech eretz. You can't expect kibbut aveim unless you have kibbut bein uvas. You have to have the children too. But on the other hand, you can't say, well, my son's the Mashiach, and therefore the Mashiach probably, he should only sleep 2 hours a night like the Vilna Gaon. And therefore I'm going to train my kid right now that, kid, we're going to give him no chocolate for you, kiddo, no sweets for you, no fun for you. You can't go to camp. Mashiach doesn't go to camp this summer. We're going to send you to boot camp or something. You know, we're going to send you, we're going to make you learn all day and all night. It's too much. So Mashiach, we haven't heard of a camp Mashiach yet. There's all kinds of funny names for camps today. You know, it's wonderful names, superlative names. You have the most amazing names: Romamu, highest level, Elyon. It's a very nice camp, Rabbi Isaac's camp, Kim Elyon. Okay, great names. But I haven't heard of camp Mashiach yet. We have not heard of camp Mashiach. His name has not come up yet. The Messianic camp. You'd like that camp, your son? I can see it already in your eyes. I see already a candidate for camp Mashiach. But don't send your son to Camp Mashiach, please. Send them to a regular camp with regular kids. And you can't push things. As Mamre the Chazal say, we should wait for the Mashiach. Achak Eloi. B'chol Yom Shiavo. But it's also Lidchoy Gesa Kates. It's also to push the Kates of Mashiach. All the tzars of Klai Yisrael come when we're Oyle B'chayma. When Klai Yisrael tries to come and push a Jewish state before the time, and it's not ready for Mashiach, and they say it's already the Reishis Tzvichat Gulasenu, it's the beginning of the Mashiach, you'll get thrown right back into your face. You can't be Doichik Es HaKeit, and you can't be Doichik Chazal say, then the brachas, Kol HaDoichik Es HaShah, he's Nitchak M'pnei HaShah. Whoever pushes the hour, he gets pushed right back. Every action is equal opposite reaction. You push this way, so just like the law of physics is the equal opposite, you get pushed right back. There's determination, there's Amelus, there's work, there's yearning, there's striving, there's aspiration, but not ambition. Ambition is a little different. Ambition has a tinge of ego to it, an impatience to it, a demand to it, that I know what's best for me, and I want it now, and I want instant gratification, even the spiritual matters, and I want it now. All great people came from steady toil, they worked hard. And they were very disciplined, but they didn't jump. They didn't jump. Recently, there's some people that, you know, I like to quote the Zohar, but I'm not a Makubal. But some people, they're into Zohar, younger people into Kabbalah today, and a lot of tzaras, I see people who get themselves, they make themselves into high-flying people, and they even do miracles and maifsim. I'm not joking, a few tragedies have happened recently,
And I'm seeing it from people who are, they jumped perhaps a little too, I'm not God, only God knows. I'm not judging anybody. But I see a common thread, people who were sort of doing miraculous things in a younger age. And, you know, I never heard of a miracle from Rav Shach. Rav Shach, who's 110 or something, Rav Shach, who is very old and fragile today, but till a few years ago was, I never do a miracle, never do miracles, open miracles, promise miraculous things. There's no open miracles. He is a miracle. His life, his whole matzias is a miracle. That he's guiding and advising people. The biggest miracle we look for at tzaddik is a good piece of advice and a blessing. Give a blessing that I should be able, with my strength, to actualize my own potential. That's really the best bracha tzaddik can give you. But we want changing nature and changing life. That's sometimes result of such. It could happen. It certainly could happen. But the main thing we want from a tzaddik is strength, encouragement, siyata d'shmaya. He should help us get closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. The bracha be let the miracle come from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Like the Slender Rabbi told me, never give someone a bracha. He always says, say to the person, Hashem should bench you. Hashem should give you a bracha. Hashem should bless you. Not that I'm blessing. I once said to the Slender Rabbi, I told the Rebbe that the Rebbe should be gesund and stark. So the Rebbe is never angry. And I told you many things. Never gets angry. Never gets. No, don't say that. Don't say the Rebbe. You're giving the Rebbe a bracha. He says, you say the Rebbe should give the Rebbe a bracha. Or the Rebbe should give anybody a bracha. That's what the Rashbam says. But Birkas Kahana. So it's Glenda the Halas going to the Rebbe. It's not me. It's Salz the Rebbe Shalom. So David Mel said, I never look down. Like Gova Libi. My eyes were never too high. I never was haughty. I was never supercilious. I never went beyond my level. I never jumped. You got to be very careful not to jump too high. And I'll conclude and tell you a vort from the Meshe Chochma in Parsha Shmini, last week's Parsha, and the Gevalt, the Gevor, on this subject. It says in the... it says... Toiv Shem Yishem and Toiv. A good name is better than the best oil. What does that mean? Says the Medrash, Tov Shem Shal Hanani Meshav Azariah. Better the good name of Hanani Meshav Azariah, who refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. And they were thrown into the furnace. And they came out unscathed. Unscathed. Better what happened to them, their shame tov, that's called the tov shame. It's better than what happened to Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu were anointed with the Shemen Amishka, with the holy oil, and they also had an encounter with fire, and the fire consumed them and destroyed them. Zotachet Meshachon, what's the pshat? He says, it's a merit word, he says. He says, there's two ways to nurse a child. There's two ways to nurse a child. You can have the mother nursing the child, and you can hire a wet nurse. A wet nurse is another lady who has milk in her for her own child, so now you can pay her, and she'll nurse your child as well. Why is the difference between the wet nurse and the mother? Chilik is azoy. The mother, her whole kavana, the whole day, she's eating and taking vitamins, eating the right food, and exercising. Whatever she does is so that the milk should be good for her child. She is totally surrendered to the child. She only wants for the child. It's not for herself at all. There's no self. She's just like a milk machine for the child. She wouldn't dare. She'll go to the doctor. The doctor, is this good for the child? That good for the child? I don't want to take something with the wrong hormones. I'll eat organic. I don't want to chas v'shalom put anything in my little baby. A wet nurse. A wet nurse also wants to feed the child. But the wet nurse is getting paid for it. Same feeding, the same exact feeding. Both are breastfeeding a little infant, suckling infant. Same thing, same kind of milk. But the wet nurse, the main cup on the wet nurse is me. I'm feeding the child because I'm getting paid. And she'll cheat and she'll eat things that aren't necessarily so good for the child because she's hungry and she has a taiva, so she'll do what she has to do. And not only that, when she does it, she has a certain pleasure. Oh, I feel so good. I feel so humanitarian. I'm so glad I chose this profession of being a wet nurse so I can help these little helpless children. She has a sense of being like, I am the helper, and this is a helpless little child. And I'm so glad that I am in the helping mode, and that people need me, and I can fulfill people's needs.
So in other words, the wet nurse is not only getting a physical and financial advantage by being paid to nurse the child, she gets an emotional advantage too, the sense of giving. People like to give. This is great, I get paid for giving. It's the best thing I do, I get paid for giving. But the mother is not like that. Therefore, it says the Meshech Chochma, the ultimate Jewish tzaddik, the ultimate tzaddik by us is like Moshe Aaron, and Shir Shirim also have the metaphor, it says, Shtei Shadayach. It speaks always of the breasts, the two Shadayach. So Chazal say, who are the breasts of Klal Yisrael? Moshe Aaron. They were the twin breasts, because just like the breast itself of the mother, it's just a milk machine, that's all it is. It has no personal advantage whatsoever. The culture game, the breast itself, so to Moshe Aaron, when they gave Klal Yisrael, they had no sense of superciliousness. Oh, those poor Jewish boys, it's a good thing we're around. Aaron, you know, it's a good thing we're here. Mo, yeah, I tell you, we're good. That's a good team we got here. Aaron and Mo, you know, poor Jewish people, I don't know what to do without us. You know, we're going to definitely go. We might even win the Peace Prize this year, you know. We're doing a good job here. You know, I feel so good about this. This is really great. My ego feels so, I feel a sense of accomplishment in life. And my life has purpose. You know, we're a good team. Chas v'shalom. Moshe Aaron only did what's for the Klal Yisrael, what their Rebbe Shlomo wanted. They had no self. They were selfless. They really were selfless. For those of us who are so selfish, it's hard for us to believe. It sounds like a word. It's such an empty word for us. Selfless. Selfless. Selfish. So, it's interesting. What's the difference between selfless and selfish? Ish has the ish at the end. The ish. There's still an ish. Someone told me a good word this week. You know, there's two words that have the same exact letters. There's united, and there's untied. Same exact letters. What's the difference between united and untied? Right? So, when it's united, so, this you on and on I. There's no I. United is, you get rid of the I. After the on, you have the I. If you get rid of the I, then it's united. But if you don't have the I next to the on that you got rid of, the on is to get rid of, yeah, then it's untied. There's no united. If you still keep the I, you keep the I away from the on, and you haven't yet managed to eradicate the I, the selfishness, then it's untied and not united. At any rate, so therefore says the Meshech Chochma, when Hananiah, Vashov, Azariah, they wanted Mekadashim Shemayim. They saw all the Jewish people are bowing down to the idol. They said, this is terrible. For the sake of the Jewish people, we've got to destroy, we're willing to destroy ourselves. We're going to go and kill the Hashem and show the Jews, we're not going to be saved. The word says clearly, they did not go and ask to be saved. The person gets himself thrown into a furnace for the sake of his idol. But God, you're going to save me, right? That's not the way to go. If a person is forced to bow down to idols, the person says, I want to be thrown to the idols, because to the furnace, I'm gladly burned, because that's the Kiddush Hashem. I have no purpose in my life if I can't sanctify God's name. The highest thing I can do is sanctify God's name. I wish, I'm looking forward like Rabbi Akiva, I can't wait for the opportunity to just be destroyed for the sake of Kiddush Hashem. So Hanai Rosh Hashanah, I say, you know what, our life, the best thing we can do with our lives is to give it to Klal Yisrael. How we want to sanctify ourselves in the midst of the Jewish people. We're not higher than the Jewish people. We're nothing. Forget, we're here to serve the Jewish people. We're lower than the Jewish people. We're here to serve them. Let them grow from us. Let them grow from us. We gladly invest ourselves in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is bigger than us. What could be a better investment of life than to give my life for Klal Yisrael? We're lower than Klal Yisrael. Who are we, the individuals, compared to the gods of Klal Yisrael? So Hanani v'shov Azariah, who is in a shame. A shame means an identification. A shame means a title. They wanted the title of L'Kaddish Shem Shemayim, not for their own selves. They wanted the word to go out of Kiddush Hashem, God's name, that their name should be associated with God's name. So since their whole avodah was, their leadership was totally to give themselves to Klal Yisrael, in the end they emerged unscathed from the Kivshin and they were returned to Klal Yisrael alive. Because their whole action was an action of being part of the Jewish people. They did not regard themselves as above the Jewish people. But not the Vaviyu, who were big miyuchasim, and Chazal say they never got married, that every woman wasn't good enough for them. And they looked down the Klal Yisrael, says the Meshech Chochma. They felt themselves to be above Klal Yisrael. Just like oil rises to the top above the water, and the oil looks down to the water, says, water. Water's oil. You're an underdog. The oil always rises to the top. Mizan Besser mentioned, with the cream de la cream, Mizan Besser mentioned, and these people, you know, yeah, so maybe we'll be makar of them a little bit. No, it's like the makar of Bali Tshuva. It makes me feel good about myself, the makar of some Bali Tshuva. You know, Nebuch, these poor Bali Tshuva, what do they know? Where they're coming from? It makes me feel good. I have good warm fuzzies all over when I'm makar of somebody a little bit. I invite them to my Shabbos meal. It makes me feel good about myself. I feel good. I feel like a humanitarian. I feel so good about myself. But I'm looking down at them. So Nadav Avihu, who looked down, the Klal Yisrael, they're like oil above the water. And there was personal gratification, like it says in the famous Targum Yonason, in the end of Mishpatim, at the Matan Torah, it says, Vayoichlu, Vayishtu, Vayechzu Es Elokim. They ate and they drank and they saw God by Sinai, which means, says the Targum Yonason, that their encounter with Hashem gave them pleasure as if they were eating and drinking. There was a personal pleasure. It's great. Who wouldn't want to go see the sky open up? What a thriller. See the sky open up. This is a fantastic movie. I never saw such a thing. They never had this on HBO. The sky opening up, Revelation of Sinai. This is fantastic. So, Vayoichlu, Vayishtu, they were eating and drinking, Vayasalakim. So that was like a personal meal. They got personal gratification out of it. Therefore, since their leadership was one that they separated themselves from Jewish people, Hashem says, you're separate? I'll make your Shneimel separate. And out of here. And he burnt them to a crisp, and they went to Shemayim. They get some schar. They were good. They were great people, mind you. Not nobodies. Chas v'shalom. But they were not the proper leaders for Klal Yisrael, and Hashem couldn't tolerate it. They're gone. Because they went too high. And it's exactly what David says. David says, L'gav alibi. I'm a leader. I'm the king of Israel. Shir Amal is L'David. This is Shir Amal is L'David, a song of ascent to David. So everything's about ascent to go high. No. The biggest height one can reach is that I lower myself lower. The higher you go, the higher a tzaddik goes, the lower he goes. That I am only here, I am tachas kapos ragle klal Yisrael. Reb Chaim Oizer Gajensky with the address of Klal Yisrael, had no self, he had no time. The man was a genius of the highest order. And I told you, maybe that he could write a tshuva with the right hand. He could write a different tshuva with his left hand and talk to somebody learning with his mouth. He's holding up three different things at once, and he had to do it. And he writes in his Kabbalahs, for 1 year he says, I will try, I'll do this and that. He said, I'll try every day to learn a few minutes. I'll try every day to learn a few minutes. He had no time. His house was mobbed with people from day and night. There's a lady, Rebbetzin Kravitz, she should live me well in Brooklyn. No, her husband was a Bashivan RJJ, Rev Mendel Kravitz, so her father was Reb Chaim Moise's secretary. So she remembers what was going on, she tells him. It was like Grand Central Station from dawn till late at night. I don't know when he slept yet. He had nothing. He had no children. He had a daughter. I think she was crazy. He had nothing for himself. He had nothing for 40, 50 years of Chaim Moshe was the address of Klal Yisrael. And he said the biggest chus is to serve Klal Yisrael. The greater a person is, the lower they feel. They're happy to be a stepping stone that Klal Yisrael just step on them. And the lekayin that's where we end off. The nafshi kafar lakol tiyeh. Let my soul be like dust for everybody. And Chazal say, just like dust, you step on it, yeah, it still gives out, if you plant, it gives out fruit, and it gives out grain, gives out produce. So to a tzaddik, kafor, I'm like the dust. Step on me, I'll still give out. I'll give out. So David says, Shir Amalas. What's a Shir Amalas? I'm getting high. L'gav alibi, l'romeinai, l'hilachti b'gdardos and flaws in many. Im l'shivisi v'deimamti nafshi. I'm just like a little child. By God's side, I'm like a baby nursing from the Bajdam. The older I get, the more infantile I become in my relationship with the Rebbeinu, the more simple innocence I have with the Rebbeinu. This, says the Chavis Levavis, is the ultimate Cheshbon HaNefesh, that when we dive into Hashem, we shouldn't come like wise Alex, like smart guys, like the Chutzafim. Okay, God, here I am. Let me tell you what I need today. This is the list. Chas v'shalom. The Tzaddik said, Hashem, I don't have the nerve to say I know what's good for me. I'm just only asking you these things to tell you that I'm totally in your hands, only you can help me. Hashem, whatever you could say is fine with me. I'm only giving this, I'm only saying that what I want, just to show you that my wants are all in your hands. If you don't like it, veto it, forget it. I'm not going to complain. Whatever you want, Hashem, you know better what's good for me without my stomach out. Okay, Rabbi Sai, fortunately, I will be hopefully in Eretz Yisrael next week, and maybe even in 2 weeks. The truth is, I probably will be there for 2 weeks because I just can't be there right for Lag BaOmer and not go to Meiron. So, unfortunately, I can't find a substitute for this year. Unless you can find one, I'll be very happy to let them give it. But if you'd like to give me any kvitlach or any bakashas, I'm not leaving till Tuesday, hopefully. So if you want to send the kvitlach to the Kaisel or to Meiron, Alag Vayim Meiron is supposed to be unbelievable. And so if you'd like me to be a shliach in some way, I'll be very happy to represent you. Rabbi Chanan, the Kasha, Mr. Gadish, Baruch, the Zakh, and Shol, the Fichach, and Baruch, the Mr. Shol, and the Fichach, 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 and the